you. We are back in our book here on our discipleship series on Continue On. We started last week looking at the Holy Spirit. And the second book just talks just about some different subjects to help us as we go forward. Our first discipleship book was more around our 8 steps of growth. And this one is just different subjects to help us. I do want to thank you for being here. A bit of an off night on a Tuesday night. And thank you for recognizing that and showing up, especially you ladies who have to, you get to go to the ladies' conference on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I hope you have a great time there. I always encourage, I know not all of you can't, but I do encourage you strongly, if you can go, to go. It'll be an encouragement to you. We started talking about the Holy Spirit last week, and just review what we went over. We understand that the moment we were saved, that the Spirit of God indwells in us. He took up residence in our life, and we looked at that from many different angles last week. We went over the first section about who is the Holy Spirit. We mentioned that he is a person. He's not some type of impersonal, spirit or ghost or something of that nature. He's not like a spiritual Star Wars. He is a person. He is God, and he indwells inside of us. He lives inside of us, and he sealed us for salvation. Then we started looking at what can the Holy Spirit do for me? What significance is there in the fact that the Spirit of God indwells in us? We looked at the first one, and we started for 2 minutes or so on the second one, which was where we'll pick it up. We said that he gives us comfort. He gives us comfort. Now we'll look at the next one as we just kind of gave an introduction to it. He gives us power. He gives us power. The Holy Spirit is the power behind anything that God does. Anything that gets accomplished in this world for God's work or for us personally in our life is a result of the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. This verse is not in your book, but it's a good one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly." Now you think of those two words, right? They're really just two descriptions of the same thing. And it's like a redundant. It's exceeding and it's abundant. In other words, it's a lot. He does a lot more than you could ever imagine. Above all that we ask or think. You know, sometimes we put God in a box, right? Maybe it's something in our life like, I could never get victory over this. I could never, and he's like, I can do more than that. We pray and we ask for something, and we sometimes have weak faith and like, God can really do it. And he goes, I can do much more than you even ask. Yep. How does he do that? According to the power that what? Worketh in us. Now we'll look at the verses, a few verses before that, but what is the power that he uses to work in us? He uses the word, the Spirit of God. You say, well, how does the Word of God work inside of us? When we get the Word of God inside of us, the Spirit of God uses that as the ammunition and empowers us to do what the Spirit, to do what the Word of God says. How important it is to know that we can live for God and we can live right if we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and allow him to work. You know, there are more landmines than there has probably ever been in the history of this world when it comes to just tripping Christians up. It's everywhere. We think back in the early days of the church, you look back at the persecution. Did you know persecution didn't stop the church? Fact of the matter is, in a sense, it kind of fueled the church. That's outside. But the easier it is for Christians, the harder it is for us to live right. The more things there are to trip us up, the easier it is for us to fall prey to those things. And as bad as things are, and I'm not that old, but, you know, when I was a newer Christian, in my 18, 19 years old, I heard about how bad things had gotten. You know, things are horrible. It used to be back 20 years ago. And by the way, they weren't just saying that. That was true in their time. And I look back at it now, and it's like it's child's play. You're not, if you're younger, you just don't get it. The things that we used to have to go off and try to find, the trouble we used to have to go out and get into, you can now get into right here.
Yeah.
I'll turn it this way because usually someone calls me if I do that, right? It's all right here. You can get into so much trouble right here.
Yep.
Now, as, hey, no one called, good. Oh, by the way, the dryer's done, hon. My phone just told me that. My phone tells me when the dryer's done. I don't even need that. But by the way, let me just say this. Oh, say, well, that's good, Pastor Myers. That's why I let my child have a phone, because the Spirit of God and work, they're not ready for it. And it's just, if we are careful, we say, by the way, I'll get off on that for a minute. We'll just park over here. If we are allowing ourselves to be put in a situation that would cause temptation when we don't need to be, we're really walking outside of the Spirit's power. And I don't even know if that's scriptural, but it sounds good. We're putting ourselves in a situation God didn't intend for us to be. But I know this, if we're trying to do everything we can to walk right, when those times do come, that's a result of just life, the Spirit of God can help us to get through those things. Did he not tell us to pray, lead us not into temptation? And yet we walk over here and we give our teenager one of these. And you say, Pastor Myers, I am sick of hearing you say that. Well, let me just say this as kindly. I am sick of dealing with kids that get in trouble because of this right here. Okay, get them a flip phone. They won't like it. I'll tell you why. Because they don't want it for the telephone. It's kind of hard to it would be hard to text your boyfriend a bad message when it's like, you know, remember the old days? Like A, C, E. Look, forget it. You know, that's why people, when they used to text thank you, it was, what is it, a TX or something? Now, if you have one of these phones and you don't type out the word thanks, you're just lazy, okay? But the thing is this, if we have to do our part, that's why he says, lead us not into temptation. But if we're doing our part, all these things that come our way, and we're walking with God, the Spirit of God will help us to get over these things. You can make it. Let's not just think, well, you know, teenagers get in trouble. That's just how it is. That doesn't have to be that way. The Spirit of God can work in their life. It can really do something in your life. And if you teenagers are waiting, and these aren't even in the notes, so pray for me. If you teenagers are waiting until you become adults before you start to live right, you're not going to make it. I read these organizations, I forget which one it is. They do all, I think it's the Barna Group. They do all these different polls to figure out things, the spiritual pulse of the nation. They just had one a few months ago. It goes, what is the difference in a teenager who becomes an adult and lives for God and those who don't? And you know what their conclusion is? And they're not fundamentalists by any stretch of imagination. It's those that are already walking with God. By the way, when I first got saved and I wasn't going to church, I didn't even know where good, you know, I didn't even know where church was. But I had this thing in my mind, like, once I become an adult, then I'll start getting serious about God. And I did that for a little bit and it wasn't working very well. And I'm thankful that God got a hold of me before I got into too much trouble. And I'm like, I need to serve God now. And so the point is, you can make it. You have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Now, I'm not saying that it's not going to be a struggle sometimes, because we live in this flesh. But the reason the flesh sometimes seems more powerful to us than the Spirit of God is because we're giving the flesh, for lack of a better term, home court advantage.
Yeah.
We're feeding the flesh and we're making it stronger than the Spirit. And you know, the old illustration about the two dogs, whatever one you feed, the same thing's true. If all I'm doing is feeding myself spiritual garbage and I'm never feeding myself spiritually, no wonder we're going to struggle with the flesh. All of us will. There's no Superman Christians, but there is a super God. There is a God who dwells inside of me, who wants me to do right, and if I want to do right, he'll work with me.
Yes.
He will give me that power. He doesn't pick us up and make us do something that we don't want to do, but when we desire to live right and we're doing everything we can to do right, he powers us on that path. And so that's very important. Anything that God accomplishes in us is done through his Spirit. We can accomplish nothing in the power of our flesh, of any spiritual or eternal, and this is the key word, value. It must be done through the power of God's Spirit working in us. Now, I will say this. You can accomplish things that seem to be for God without the Spirit's power. And these are worst case. There was a missionary. One of our missionaries said he was in a conference with him. I saw the guy's story. He's a missionary. A missionary. He came back to the States, and he murdered his wife on Valentine's Day. Found a fundamental Baptist. So that he could have an affair with a national he had brought over to the States. And he had numbers. You can get people, you can get a crowd. There's churches all across America that do it all the time. And by the way, we're not just in it to get a crowd. I want the building packed. But you know, I don't want the building packed because you don't know our number. We never talk about how many numbers we have. I just want to, we have a big city, right? We're not some little country town of like 400 people. We have lost people everywhere. And our city is a wreck. But you know what? We can help them. We have the answer. And I'd rather help 1,000 people than 100 people. Not so that we're, and by the way, if it gets, a pat on the back, break our arms. They say, don't break your arm trying to pat yourself on the back. That's not what we're into. But I just happen to believe that the Spirit of God can do something in people's lives.
Yeah.
And so, Sunday school teachers, as you're teaching your lesson, I hope that you are praying that God will use that lesson in that child's life. And yeah, study, prepare, do the best you can in all those different things. Learn how to teach. But if you can be as polished as can be, if you don't have God's power, you know what you are? You're noise. Let God do something in your life. Let God work in us. I send the staff typically, not every week, but just about every Tuesday, I'll send them a little email about what happened and what's coming on. And I sent them one about this last week. But I always just say, I'm amazed when something good happens here. I'm like, and last Easter we had the place, I'm like, man, last Easter the place was packed out. I know, but I forgot. We had like 6 feet between the chairs, right? And I'm like, so who's going to come with it? I don't know. Let's just pass out 30,000 invitations and see what happens.
Amen.
And it amazes me that God just brings people along.
Yeah.
People get saved. And I want that. I want to see that.
Yeah.
But we can do that on our own, and I don't want us to do that on our own. We need God's power. God wants to work in you more than he wants to work in the essence in what you're doing. I heard this statement many years ago. God is more concerned with the worker than he is with the work. You think of Jonah. Jonah was confused, right? He went to Nineveh, probably the worst revival meeting in the history of revival meetings when it comes to the service. He just walked up and said, 40 days, God's going to destroy you. No love offering needed. Thank you. He had a bad spirit. And yet God used that. The whole, what do they tell us? Nineveh might have had 800,000 people. Now I know they all didn't get saved, but a great deal of them turned towards the Lord.
Yeah.
And Jonah's up on a mountain acting like a little ninny. But you know what? God took the time to deal with him.
Yeah.
God's like, Jonah, what are you doing here? You didn't get the memo? Do you understand that I should care about these people? God wants to work in us so that we can do something for him.
Yeah.
And even if we are being the kind of person that we should be, we still need his power to do things for him.
Absolutely.
You know what happens if we don't? We take credit. And if you, if, you, you know, if, 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 if in our, let's just think about our church. If we can, now we do what we can. We try to be organized. We think of creative things to do. But if we can explain what's going on here, then maybe it's not God. I mean, we do the responsibilities, right? But when someone comes and gets saved, you can't force someone to get saved.
No.
You can't. Yeah, we had several people here this last week and over the last few weeks. And hey, how'd you hear? You know, just one of your people just gave me an invitation. They probably didn't even know that that person was coming to church.
Yeah.
There were several people that just said, I got one of these on my door. No one even talked to them. But they needed it at that time.
Yeah.
And so let's pray and let's let his power, we don't need the credit. And I know, good men that I know, they do it. You know, it's like, you know, they want to sing on their little CDs and they have a big picture of themselves and their name is front and center and really, really small, sings about God. I don't, if I could sing and I put my picture on the CD, I'd probably like kill sales. You know, it's not about us.
Right.
You know, Steve Myers Ministries. I don't need that. We don't need that. We want God to get the glory. Someone has said, getting back to the book, someone has said that the Christian life is not hard to live, it's impossible to live. Now, I'll explain that. That is only true if we are not allowing the Spirit of God to empower us to live God's way. You can't do it yourself. You can fool people for a while, but the real you will come out. It's there. It'll leak out. And the farther you go trying to do something without God, the more it starts to seep out.
Yeah.
Who you are is really going to be there. And I'm not saying we don't have weaknesses or frailties, but we need God's Spirit. Look at Ephesians 3:16. That is in your book. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his what?
Spirit.
Where? In the inner man. See, it works from the inside out. You can fool people on the outside for a while. But if you're going to have real, genuine, lasting outward actions or whatever, it's got to be prompted by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He's got to do the work through us. We cannot rely on ourselves. It's not because we're super this or super that. Our outward life is the revealed fruit of the strength that we receive from the Spirit in our inward man. If we have a Christian life that's constantly like this, what does that mean? That means we have a private life that's like this. That means we have and that could be from the practical aspect of our time with God. If we're inconsistent with our time with God, we're going to be inconsistent in our Christian outward life. It's frustrating. I've met over the years so many good people, and they come to church, and you know, we think this person has such potential for God to do something in their life, and yet they never can nail down the basics. They can never just walk with God every day. They can never just be faithful to church. They can never find somewhere to serve and just say, I'm going to dig in. Okay? And sometimes we just don't get it. God wants us. God wants us to be consistent, and the Spirit of God helps us. And let me say this, if you're not living in the Spirit, then you're not going to be living godly. And you know who is in control of your life. Every single one of you do. You know it. You know what's going on. I don't know. I can look at you. You look good. I mean, you know, maybe not from the neck up, but you know, you're doing okay. But you know what your life is like. You know what it is. You know what it is when you go to bed and it's just you laying down. You never have a thought of God in your life. You know, you don't think that way. You go off and do things. You teenagers sneak around. You throw the wool over your parents' eyes, and you got your little devices hidden here and there. You know what you're doing. You know, look, God can, you can get over all of that. You can live right. If you're living for the right, the Spirit's going to be in control of it. And if you're living for that which is wrong, you're not going the right direction, then you know at that time the flesh is. You can wrap up everything in excuses. We try to spiritualize things. I got spiritual liberty in Christ. Nobody has spiritual liberty in Christ to live in sin. You do not. Don't even give me that. It's not in the Bible. Now, one of the more important tasks that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do, if we want to wrap it in a different sense, is the witness to others of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. As Jesus was preparing to ascend and leave this earth, he gave us our marching order. That's to get the gospel to the entire world, starting from where we're at and moving out from there. That's a daunting task. You think of the early disciples. I mean, the society was not on their side. We go soul winning, and people in our country at least have heard of Jesus. That's why you go to another country, and their soul winning track is really thick, because they, in some instances, they have to start at creation. They have to get people the fact that there is a God who created us and take them from there to understand the basics to where you can bring them to Jesus Christ and their sin. But people here, they know. But back then, they were facing some daunting things. The religious leaders, the Romans and all that's going on there, they needed help, and God told them how they could do it. The source was the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 8, 1. But he tells them what to do in a second, but he's going to start with telling them how they can do it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he told them in some of the other places, he told them what that, and he told them the power would be there. There he goes, okay, you're going to receive power now. I'm leaving. But when you receive the power, here's what you are to do. When we were in college, our brethren, we were told to constantly pray for power. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should. It's on my list. But I think some of the brethren had it in a very selfish kind of way. Give me God's power. I've heard people preach about how God's power fell on them. I don't need to hear that. I want to see it. I don't think God wants us to get his power so we can go around telling everybody else how we got it. I don't think that's how it works. Maybe I'm missing it here. He gives us the power so that when we do his work, God can accomplish great things. Because it's him working through us, because we're not trying to get the glory. We're not trying to build a monument to man. We're trying to get people saved. And that's one of the key things the Spirit of God wants to do. He didn't just give us a work to do. He gave us the way to do it. Just go. Look, if you work somewhere and they're training you, they say, now, here's what we're trying to accomplish. And then they say, go have it. No, they got to teach you how to do it. There's a way to do it. Jesus said, here's your marching orders. Start reaching people right here. And then you're going to start spreading. And you're eventually going to go around the whole world. That's the goal. But I'm giving you the power to do that. We can be as dedicated as we want to his purpose, but without his power, it's not going to happen. You hear these people, and they're ignorant. This worldly advice that tells kids, you graduate from high school, just follow your dreams. What if your dreams are unreachable? I want to be president of the United States. My first question would be, why? Do you know how many? There's been 46 of them. One more than we really need. It's pretty bad when the Easter Bunny's got to rip you off the stage. And I'm not saying that. I feel bad for our president. I think he has health issues. I think we ought to pray for him. They put him in a bad position. But that's regardless. Okay. But look at. Let's just do the math. 200 and something years, 45. Can I just tell you something? None of you are going to be president. I don't care how much you dream. Ain't happening. Well, I've always wanted to do this in my life, and I'm going to give everything. And I know if I just try, I'm going to make it. You don't have the talent. I know back in the early days of the church when all the Cambodian refugees first came over, they're telling us all their kids, they want them to be doctors and lawyers. Well, all I know is this, you can't be either one with a grade point average under 2. It's like none of them became doctors or lawyers. Their parents had unrealistic goals for them. We do that. We're going to do all this for God. You're not going to do anything for God without his power. I don't care how much purpose you have. Okay? It just doesn't work that way. He gives us the power. That's why when we go soul winning, yes, I think we should be persistent with people. But we can't force people to get saved. You cannot force people to get saved. What does Romans tell us? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the what? Power unto salvation. Amen. Now, where does that power, it comes from the gospel, but who uses that? The Spirit of God. They convict people of their sin. He convicts people of their sin. It's not because of our slick presentation. And let me say this, I can get someone to pray a prayer. Now, I'm ashamed to say this, but unfortunately, I had a college teacher that taught me this in personal evangelism. He said he was out soul winning. And he said, he went to a man, he witnessed to him, and he said, would you like to pray and receive Christ? And the man said, I do that every day. Now, what does that mean? It means he doesn't understand. And the teacher said, I told him, well, you wouldn't want to miss a day. Let's pray. That man's not saved. And I did that a couple weeks later on my bus route. That guy's not saved. I don't have to trick people into praying. I don't know about you, but when I heard the gospel, it bothered me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, I'm going to hell. I don't want to talk to this guy anymore. It's funny how we think in our unsaved nature, right? He's telling me about hell, and I kind of believe it, and I don't want to hear it anymore because I feel bad. But he convicted me. Now, I was a knucklehead. It took a little while, several times to be witnessed to over a course of time, but I knew I was unsaved, and God was working with me, and finally that last time, I'm like, I'm giving in. And I walked down the aisle by myself. Pastor Esposito sitting next to me said, yeah, walk by yourself. I'm like, what kind of friend is that? He was a good friend for taking me to church, but I'm like, I need to go down there and talk to that guy. He goes, yeah, go. I'm like, man, I don't know these people. Joking, kind of. Still bitter about that. But you know, Pastor Esposito didn't have to say, you need to go down there. The Spirit of God was prompting me. So when God's given us a work to do, the Spirit of God will do. Now, I'm not just saying we give the gospel and we walk away and like, hey, if the Spirit's going to save them, no. I look him in the eye and say, do you understand? Do you want to receive Christ right now? Well, let the Spirit work. And when they do, you know what that is? That's the Spirit of God working on them. Yep. Now, sometimes we need to answer questions. I understand that. Sometimes they may not understand something. But you understand that working for God is a spiritual thing. And you can't do spiritual things successfully in an unspiritual way. You know what we need to do, all of us, that when you go out soul winning, you say, Lord, lead me to somebody that needs you. Use what I'm saying. Speak. That's why you use scripture. Now, I know sometimes we don't have maybe our Bibles with us, and we have to kind of use the back of a track if we're out and about. That's fine. The truth of the scripture, quote the verses to them. But let the Spirit of God work. You teachers, look, and by the way, if you're, you know, I have a hard time believing you're ready if you're showing up late for your Sunday school class. I like being here early. Okay? I do. I like being here early. I want to be around. I wanted to greet the people as they came. You ought to love those kids. But more than loving them, you better have something for them. And I know it's not always optimal. Sunday school class out here, Miss Megan. Sunday school class out here, Victoria. Bus ministry classes outside. By the way, we're working on getting not a tarp, but something a lot nicer to cover that area. you know, and all the kids, I don't know, there's, I think I saw Shanice, always teaching Sunday school outside over here, and it's like, we've been doing that for like 30 years, it's time to get over it, okay? How many of you, I've been over it for a long time, I enjoy it, but you know what, it doesn't matter where you meet. We were looking to get the pictures from the old church building. I saw one of the Sunday school classes in that back area in Pastor's old house. And it literally looks like a third world country. It looks like the war was over and now we're having Sunday school class. Okay? We look at the pictures and say, hey, is that from one of the missionaries over in Uganda? It's like, no. That was Anaheim Avenue. Okay? But you know what? The Spirit of God can work there. Hey, let's be in our places ready to go. You bus workers, don't just go out there and promote whatever we're giving away. And I'm not against promotion, but love those kids and have something for them. Give them something. And what they really need is they need God to work in their life, and we've got to give God something to work with, but we have to rely on him. Be praying, Lord, just use this. I'm going to get up and teach a Sunday school lesson. I'm not the best teacher in the world. Can you speak to the kids' hearts? Let's rely on him. He wants to do great work in our life. We should have did more points, but I'll stop at that one. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Spirit of God that you indwell us. We thank you, Lord, that as we desire and try to do something for you in our meager efforts, in the scope of things, we pray that you would use what we're trying to do to serve and reach people for Christ. We pray you to help all of us, Lord, to understand that your power is available to us, whether it's as we live our life and try to do the right thing. And I know we go to work and we go to places and we have to face things, and I understand that, Lord. But I pray as we do that, you'd give us your power to be able to live successfully. I pray you'd help us this Sunday, as we have our Sunday school classes, as we have our services, as we run our bus routes, and even in the nursery, that we would have teachers that desire for you to do something in their classrooms. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless what's going on here with eternal results. And thank you for it. We pray that you would just get all the praise and glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.